Welcome, a weekly get-together with the multiple communities living in Argentina. Where they originate from, their cultures, their projects, and how they were able to undertake them here. Welcome, so the whole world can feel quite at home here in our country.
And for today's edition of Welcome, we've got down the line Stephanie Walker, an American who lived in Argentina and recently returned to his home country. He's now living in the West Coast. Hello, Stephanie. Thank you for this contact.
Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. Oh, excuse me. Good evening, I guess it is.
Yeah. Well, it's good evening. It's midnight, past midnight here. So, well,
things are just getting started.
Where exactly are you in the U.S.?
I'm in the Pacific Northwest. I'm in Washington State, right in the center of the state, in the middle of nowhere. But it's beautiful, but not quite like Buenos Aires.
Well, I can imagine it's very peaceful over there.
It's very, very quiet. Today I took a video just to show how quiet it was. Mm-hmm. I think you could hear the wind. That was about it. It was great.
Yeah, needless to say that next to Buenos Aires, most places look quiet.
Yeah, you're right. There's not one colectivo that went by today. It was amazing.
Now, Stephanie, why don't you tell us your story and your connection to Argentina in a nutshell? How you ended up here, how many years you spent, what's your background?
No, you got it, you got it. Well, I actually fell in love with an Argentine 10 years ago, met online, started visiting each other, was living in Washington State at that time, of course, was a single mother. I have a son. He's now 17. When we moved there, he was just turned 11. She was in medical school, and so obviously couldn't leave Argentina for the medical school. I was a bit more mobile, so I moved there with my son in 2010, I guess it was. And I just moved back about 4 days ago. I got here, yeah, I guess it's 4 days ago now. Did not go back to the United States that entire time. So it's been quite an adventure. My son basically grew up there. He's like my little Argentine.
Mm-hmm, of course, and, yeah. Well, I mean, he's been his teenage years, I mean, his high school years here, almost all of them.
Exactly. So, yeah, I went there just basically to be with her, and I thought, oh, well, I'll go there, and we'll do this medical school thing, and whenever she's finished up, we'll move back to the United States, everything hunky-dory, everything fine. A little more complicated than that. I didn't realize how difficult it would be to adjust not only moving there, but adjust moving back, and just how different life is there. I'm glad that I did it, but at the time when I had no idea actually what I was getting myself into. Again, good thing, but at the same time, had I realized beforehand, I'm not quite sure
okay.
I would have done it.
So a little bit of ignorance was a blessing.
Exactly.
let me get this straight. You guys met in the U.S., and your partner was studying at medical school, and then you decided to move together back to Argentina so she could finish her studies.
No. You know, she was in Argentina, and I lived here. We visited each other back and forth throughout the year.
Ah, because you met online, you told me. Yeah.
Exactly. I took a couple trips to Argentina. She took a couple trips here. And then, you know, I was a little more mobile. It was easier for me to move, because I wasn't in school, and even if I was, it wouldn't be as important as medical school, of course. And so it was just fantastic that I was even able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, here in Buenos Aires, where exactly did you live?
Oh, well, I live in Vicente López.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In the northern suburbs.
Yeah, exactly. But not very far. Like just a little bit past Puente Saavedra. Mm-hmm. So in the thick of things.
And how was it? Was that, I don't know, first month's first year coming with a son, an 11-year son? I mean, it's not only settling down; it's also, I mean, signing him
up in school and not only getting you adapted, but getting a child adapted. That might have been quite an adventure.
You know, it really was. I was really lucky that my son was kind of an easygoing guy, and I framed it as, this is great. I would have loved to have done this whenever I was a kid. You're going to learn Spanish. I'm sure a lot of that went over his head. I think he was more happy that we were able to take his Xbox and keep his Xbox Live account going there for a little bit of time. Obviously, the language thing, I wanted him to learn Spanish. I was whenever we moved, it was summer in Buenos Aires. So I didn't have to put him in school right away. I put him in it was an English institute, but for him, he learned Spanish. So he did the opposite of what the other kids did. They also taught him cursive there because he didn't learn cursive in the United States. Not quite sure if they're phasing it out or he was just still a bit too young, but they also taught him cursive. It was a complete assault on the senses for him, I think. But he ended up loving it there.
It's an interesting note about the cursive because most adults don't use it here. I mean, you learn it at school, but then you stop using it altogether.
I don't think that's exactly an interesting kick up with it.
Now, when you guys came down to Buenos Aires, you didn't speak Spanish at all?
No. I still don't even know how good my Spanish is, but my son is pretty close to fluent. He does great. But I ended up working in Recoleta. I was in a shop, and they were really they really needed somebody to be able to speak English to the tourists.
Uh-huh.
And of course, some of the business changed quite a bit with the importations and things. We ended up moving out of the tourist zone. And at that point, I had to learn Spanish. And I did okay in my job. I could speak on the phone in Spanish all right. I had to do a little bit of writing in Spanish. I could wait on customers in Spanish. But I don't know if I could watch a movie and really understand exactly what was going on. But, you know, I actually did a lot. I think I'm not giving myself very much credit because I might understand a lot more than I can speak. My son, he went to, I'm sorry, I don't mean to talk over you. I was going to go back to
it's all right. There's a little delay.
He went to a private school after the institute where he was going to learn Spanish. He went to a private school, and, in the morning it's Spanish, in the afternoon it's English. And so he was able to have a full immersion that way, And then he ended up going to a public school there in Vicente López, where obviously it's all Spanish. And he's great. He does really well.
Really? Did he go to a public school also?
He did a public school. It was a great public school. It actually was not that not too wild and crazy as some of the other ones that I heard. But he was successful, and I was just really glad he could pick up on the language.
Good. Was it difficult for him to adapt to make friends, to get used to, I don't know, to Argentine customs? Because obviously being a foreigner and being a child might be a little more difficult. Or maybe it's easier. I don't know. What's your opinion?
Well, he was 11, so I think it would be different if he was 5, 6, 7, something like that. So it was a little. I think. He was saying to me recently, it was maybe a good couple years before he was 100% comfortable. A lot of that has to do also with being able to make friends, where I think if you have a couple good friends, everything kind of seems a little better. I really think that learning the language and just kind of getting a few extra buddies in the neighborhood and all on top of that having a little freedom, about that time he would have been 13, 14, running around the neighborhood a little bit, not necessarily stuck at home all the time. So there was that piece as well.
So he also, I'm realizing that he went through the whole cumpleaños de 15 phase with all his female schoolmates. I mean, going to the cumpleaños with a suit and a tie and having a lot of fun. That's a typical phase for teenagers here when you're 14, 15.
We had about a year and a half there where it was those cumpleaños all the time. It always seemed like there was one right around the corner. And he has a lot of nice Facebook photos with a different group. And also, too, there's that whole youth running around. They were always out on the street or after school going to the park. I wasn't really nervous about him running around Vicente Lopez as much, I think I would have been more worried about him here in the United States running around all night. Because, I don't know, because they weren't driving, they were on the bus, they were in a big group all the time. I don't know. I felt really safe having him there.
Now, about the school system and being a parent sending a child to school, how do you compare, I mean, some notes, mental notes that you have comparing vis-a-vis U.S. versus Argentina? Things that are different, well, things that stand out, things you found surprising or difficult to adapt as a parent with a child.
You know, it was really difficult for me. So by the time we left, I think my son was fourth grade, fifth grade, so somewhere around that. I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly. It feels like 100 years ago. There was a lot of parent-teacher conferences and communication notebooks. There was homework every night. So my son went to the institute. He went to grade school. He went to high school, private and public. One thing that was across the board was there. I didn't really feel like, I don't know, you hear about helicopter parents, you know? So I'm thinking more like helicopter schools where...
What is that? A helicopter parent? Or
helicopter
never heard that
parent,
expression.
I think it's like a negative term. It's a parent who's always around their child and doing everything for them, and micromanaging everything for the comfort of the child. It's this slang term. And I might have it 100% or not 100% correct, but where the parents always, I guess the apron strings, I guess you could say. And I one thing that I really noted in Argentina in any of these schools, regardless if I was paying, regardless if it was in English or Spanish or what have you, is if the kids weren't necessarily maybe paying attention and aren't turning in their homework, I don't know, there was a lot less parent-teacher communication. It was, hey, your son is not paying attention. Talking in class, for example. He's talking in class. I probably wouldn't even know that he was talking in class, whereas in the United States, if he was doing that, and he did, I'd have a phone call at night, I would have an extra conference, we probably would have some sort of action plan. So with that, I remember one time I wanted to change my son, this is in Buenos Aires, I wanted to change him from one classroom to the other, and they just wouldn't have it. They really didn't want me to, and I felt like I just had to go circles. It was a power struggle kind of thing, and I didn't really see any reason for that, and I have a couple different examples of things like that. Another thing was that he didn't have as much homework at night.
He didn't.
He really didn't, no. And one thing that I liked was they got to use chalkboards and things like that in Buenos Aires, whereas I think here they're using the grease boards, and there's some sort of... electrical chalkboard or something, or I'm not even sure what it is. I've only seen them online. So maybe his education there was more classic, I don't know, is more typical of what I went through maybe. Not so much with the parent-teacher conferences or lack thereof, but banging erasers, you know, still happening down there in Buenos Aires. And I kind of like that.
What about yourself? I mean, going to work here, how was that experience in general? Was it difficult? You worked longer hours compared to the U.S.
Oh,
what do you
sure
have to say
did.
With that, with regard to that?
I sure did work longer hours. I worked in a shop. I worked for the same company the entire time. Just that one time I worked in Recoleta. I was there about in Recoleta 2 years. And then the rest of the time I worked in Belgrano. It was a lot longer hours. I worked 6 days a week. I only had Sundays free, thank goodness, because I would have gone crazy. I would work at 10 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night. There towards the end, I had maybe 2 days a week. I would go in a couple hours later, got paid only once a month, and even then it was they could pay me whenever they could.
Okay.
So it wasn't as if I got paid every week or I got paid exactly on the 1st or the 5th or the 10th. I would get paid in increments. That was very difficult. But, you know, that part was only the last year and a half I was there because the company I worked for had some financial difficulties. But as for the people I worked with were very, very nice. They were pretty flexible with if I needed to do something or if I was sick. I guess that they could have just said, oh, hey, you need a doctor's note. I know some of my fellow coworkers needed those types of things. But I felt kind of respected as a worker that way. They didn't necessarily have that rule on me. I'm not quite sure, maybe because I was foreign, maybe because they disliked me in general, had nothing to do with that. The hours were very long, though. I will say that. The hours were long. The pay was very low. But I got through it.
And you guys never consider staying in Argentina for good or for longer? I mean, was it always like this idea of a 5, 6, 7 year period, and then back to the U.S. for good or for a longer term.
Yeah, no, exactly. We always had this plan because, you know, my partner was in medical school, and she had approximately 5 or 6 years left. So our idea was, hey, I'll go down there for 5 years. That way we don't have to be apart. Long distance, it's very difficult. And then whenever you have your last year, when you're in your internship, blah, 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 we will go back. My son and I will go back and get everything set up in the United States, and we will live there where it's more comfortable, a little bit more pay, and all that. I ended up staying over a little over 6 years, a little while longer. We never entertained the thought of staying there. And I honestly feel that if I made a little more money or I didn't have to work as much, maybe we would have stayed there. I know she's not big on staying in Argentina, but
She's an Argentine.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, because I mean, it's quite typical. Many Argentines, entertain the idea of going away. That's not uncommon, not unheard of.
No, you're right. I didn't think about that. She never thought, hey, let's stay here. I mean, would I stay in Buenos Aires? I'm not sure. I would have loved to have maybe gone to the south, or maybe would have, I don't know, gotten out of the capital a bit, something a little more small town like I was used to. But we really didn't. Again, had my situation been different, and I kept thinking, okay, just these are going to be some rough years. They're going to be some lean years, but get through it, then we'll move back, and we'll be back in the, you know, land of milk and honey, and I just have to tighten up the belt, literally tighten up our belts, and then we're going to get out of here. But it was really bittersweet to go. But you never know. I mean, if things, we come up here and things don't work out, I mean, there's still a visa question. There's still an employment question for her as a doctor. Maybe we'll end up back there. I mean, I love her family, and I obviously have friends there. My son, I don't think he would complain because he liked living there. But you never know.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. I mean, final question. What did you bring back to the States as a person from Argentina? What traits, what habits, dishes that you learned? I mean, Argentine things. Immaterial things that you brought back.
This is my personal values. Oh, this is like my favorite subject, actually. One thing that I definitely learned, and I'm really glad that my son learned this, was it's just basically a more simple life. If something was broken, we didn't go buy another one, partially because we couldn't afford it. It wasn't around. But we fixed it. We were pros at improvising. Things broken in our house, for example, we used a cork. I mean, is that something that's definitely Argentine? I don't know, but we didn't want somebody coming to our house that we didn't know. The things that we needed to fix the pipe, we couldn't afford it or we couldn't find them. I definitely like that. It was just we are going to make this work. We're not going to take the easy way out and maybe buy something because we can't. Another thing I really liked, and I really noted this whenever I would go on vacation before I lived there, was the family unit is so strong. You know, we had dinner together every night, and it wasn't hey, let's have dinner together, let's watch TV, let's... We didn't have TV. We just weren't interested. We sat at a table and we conversed. Our dinners would be 2 hours long. And this is like a regular Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and we just enjoyed each other's company. And if we went to somebody else's house, with sometimes people are still living with their families, we did the exact same thing.
Yeah,
it didn't matter if it was raining outside. We're going to fire up the grill. It didn't matter if money was tight, which it often was. We're just going to kick back with some cola, maybe some Fernet, and just enjoy each other's company. I love that. And, and now we're back in the United States, and the TV's on, and... I don't know. Maybe we're not talking as much. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but there's a value. There's like a definite texture there.
Well, we do like to talk. I mean, I give you that. Argentines, we chat.
It's the art of conversation. I'm so glad that my son got to have that.
Good.
Really glad he got to have that.
Good. Did he become a chamullero, as we say here? A sweet talker.
I'm not sure what that is.
chamullero is somebody who's very good with words, who talks you into anything, who is a sweet talker, has a golden tongue.
Oh, he's a bit of a sweet talker. I don't know. Sure, he might be one of those. I think that his Spanish up here might be helping now. He might be even more so when he starts whipping out the castellano here in Washington State.
Good. Well, Stephanie, I'm really glad to. I was pleased to hear your story. It's a lovely story, and I'm glad that you brought back those things to the U.S. You sound happy and optimistic, and I wish you the best in this new stage.
Oh, thank you so much. We're only about 4 or 5 days in, and I just hope things start going well, or keep going well, and I'll get to visit soon.
Okay, the best of luck, and thank you very much for this contact.
No, you're welcome.
Well, that was Stephanie Walker, an American, former American expatriate. She lived in Buenos Aires, in Vicente López, just outside Buenos Aires City. Between 2010 and 2016, she just recently returned to the United States. She brought her son here, who spent his high school years here in Argentina, and told us about the experience as part of this regular weekly segment that we called Welcome.
RAI, Argentina al mundo. RAI, Argentina 面向世界.
RAI, Argentina vers le monde.
RAI, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン
RAE, Argentina al mundo
La RAE, Argentina al mundo
RAE, Argentinian in die Welt
RAE, Argentina al mundo